Podcast Audio. All right. And this is WineCellarMedia.com. All right. And we've got Actify Press interacting. And let me go ahead and take a look at my decibels. And I'm happy with them. All right, folks. This is William J. Jackson, black ass motherfucker. And I'll tell you this. I'm 35 years old now, folks. I posted some pictures. I thought they were pretty cool. And but at some point in time, I used to be a teenager. I don't know if you knew this about me. I was an adolescent.
Nobody knows how linear time works.
No, especially not people that think we shouldn't elect more millennials. All right? That's a that post got like 7,000 shares. That post, that one got away from me.
Because it was funny.
And when I was a teenager, I was about very few things, right? Like, I was about taking care of the small kids in the foster care house.
Yes.
I was about Southside Tacoma, Sheridan Avenue, Crippin'.
Yes.
And I was about my hip-hop shit. And with my hip-hop shit, I didn't have a lot of vocabulary, but I had an idea what I wanted to do, and I went and did it hard. Like, when I wasn't taking care of the kids in the foster care house, I was out on that hip-hop shit or that Crip shit, and the hip-hop shit more so, right? So one thing I did was I would just leave my house in Washington State, Tacoma, and I'd go to the Tacoma Mall, and I would just walk up to niggas that look like hip-hop niggas, and I'd be like, y'all niggas want to battle? If you don't want to battle, I'm going to start rapping, dissing you, and you better battle back because a crowd's going to gather. Like, I was just about that. And niggas would battle, and niggas would cipher and shit, and then I'd be like, oh, what's y'all niggas' name? You know, y'all niggas this nigga. Oh, you that, what's your name? Don Hexen? What's your name? The Reaper? Well, I just beat y'all in a battle, but I think y'all niggas is dope. Why don't you get down with me and my niggas? Our shit is called Ring of Fire, and we want to represent the Northwest as a whole. And so I had niggas joining my Ring of Fire shit. And back then, we didn't have all this internet shit and all this fancy shit. Niggas had karaoke machines and cassette tapes and CD instrumentals to record our songs. Right? And but we did that shit. And if anybody fuck with anyone from the Ring of Fire, we'll all get together and diss you. We'll go perform at little nightclubs live and diss you. We'll get on our songs and diss you and go sell the tapes for $5. When burn CDs came into effect, we sell the burn CDs for $5 and we diss you. I didn't have the language for it, but what I didn't know that I was doing was coalition building. I had a coalition called the Ring of Fire. And of course, we were all teenagers. Niggas grew up, had to get jobs because capitalism and shit. But now, when I look back, I'm like, I actually know how to do that shit. Go get at niggas, get with niggas, and bring them down with your shit, and have an overall name that is not connected to one person's name, right? Because on stage, I went by Mr. Kane or Alec Allaire, but it was not Mr. Kane's Ring of Fire. It's just Ring of Fire. And so, you know, in Pierce County and King County in the Northwest, you don't fuck with Ring of Fire. And I think we're capable of doing that as content creators. And I'm sure there's activist folks. And by activists, I mean actual activists. Not niggas that are entertainers that call themselves activists. Like, that's really like, I think a lot of these like leftist bloggers, podcasters, YouTube content creators, they call themselves activists, but really you turn that word into a genre of entertainment. So I'm not gonna front and fake it. This Wine Cellar Media shit, we're entertainers that entertain leftists, right? Like, Phoenix Kalita does some activism. I fucking don't. Like, Phoenix Kalita, like, you know, I don't want to get rid of that car you have, because that's the car that went to Ferguson.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's the Ferguson mobile.
Right.
That's the Mike Brown car.
Yeah.
I want to keep that motherfucker till the wheels actually fall off. No figure of speech. If they don't fall off, they going to wobble and we going to roll. God damn it. All right. And so this is the part two of the episode that Phoenix Kalita just did with Michael Graham off of Actify.
Yes.
And it got cut off.
Yes.
Because Michael Graham lives where the satellites don't respect it.
Yes.
And so it got cut off. So there has to be a part two.
Yes. And well, also because we weren't quite done yet.
Right? All right. It's on you.
Because, you know, what we were doing was talking about the now infamous tweet. You know. You know, and the point was to address the concept that people who are victims of some sort of systemic oppression need to have immediate relief. And that relief looks like, most often speaking, that relief is going to look like immediate access to funding, immediate access to medical care, to food, to shelter, to clothing, to those sort of things. And yes, the other things are nice too. Repealing systemic bigotry in society would be amazing and wonderful, and we should definitely work for that. But it's more important right now that we all have dinner tonight. It's more important right now that nobody's sleeping outside. It's more important right now that people can get to the doctor if they need a doctor. They can get medications, that their kids aren't going hungry, you know? And so a lot of folks were really upset about that. And they felt by saying by prioritizing economics meant you're saying, well, don't address racism, you know, which is not the case. Definitely. Yes. Fucking address racism. Address racism. Okay. But in order for us to live long enough to benefit from racism being eradicated, we have to not starve to death in the process. So also address maybe living wages. Also talk about Medicare for All. Also talk about the financial things that we need in order to survive to push for racism to be eradicated, right? You know, I made a tweet about it, and basically what I said is if somebody is too sick or too weak or too malnourished to participate in the revolution is useless for them because they won't make it, you know? So that's what we're trying to avoid. So that was kind of the gist of the first part of the conversation. And now we just kind of wanted to finish up. We were going with it a little. It's what? It is Thursday, right? A little free thought conversation.
Yes, indeed. It is Thursday. Oh, shit. Phoenix Kalita trying to put pressure on me. God damn it.
You're the engineer. You have the soundboard, my guy.
You're the engineer.
It's Free Thought Thursday in the wine cellar.
I don't run the machines, William. That is good. That joke is never going to die. But so we wanted to follow up with a part two. So MG from Actify is here. We want to talk about coalition building, right? So we've identified the problem, right? I mean, obviously, you know, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, you know, just misogyny, rape culture, all these things are a problem. But we also need to work together to solve these problems. And we need to work together to figure out how to fund solutions to these problems, right? Whether that is funding independent politicians to run for office, whether that is just going around your community, making sure everyone has food, running a food garden and a soup kitchen, whether that is making sure people can find housing. How do we build coalitions to get to our end goals? And that's what we're going to talk about. So, MG, what you got?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. It was an interesting, I guess, situation, you know, and broadly, I think, even though there was a ton of friction there, I think we accomplished things. If nothing else, we know that we have some work to do as far as people understanding how racism works or all these isms work along the economic intersection, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, that's where everybody is. Everybody's on the economic intersection, and the lower you are on in the economic strata, the it's like a multiplier effect for whatever ism you're suffering from. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, it's just a reality that people with money, no matter what their ism is, their life is going to be a little more, a little less complex. Let's put it that way. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but if you can eat every day, you have health insurance, and you're getting a good, and you have an opportunity in an education, you're doing better than somebody who has the exact same set of concern.
Wait a second. Excuse me.
That's very controversial.
Michael.
Uh-huh.
Your audio was a little muffled. Is there a certain way that you're holding your telephone or something?
It could be. Hold on just a second.
All right.
Because I moved back to Bluetooth because I was typing.
Oh, Bluetooth. Oh, yeah. Bluetooth does not work well with podcasts.
Okay, I'm back. Is that better?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, you want me to start all over?
Oh, no, keep rolling.
Okay. All right. So if we recognize that everybody has financial concerns, I guess we'll call it that for now, mm-hmm. has financial or economic or whatever kind of concerns, starting off, if we recognize that if we're still going to go by Maslow's hierarchy, you know, everybody needs food, water, shelter, clothing, you know, warmth. If we're, everybody needs these foundational things. And if we're going to be a movement, a coalition, or whatever we're going to call ourselves as the left, whatever we're going to become over the next decade or so, if we're not talking about empowering and stabilizing the lives of the people we say we care about, what are we really doing? That's to me, that became crystal clear, right? It's one thing if you don't understand how these things work, right? Especially if you've lived a relatively privileged life and it just never occurred to you that people have issues across the board when it comes to money. That's one thing, but it's another thing that if you understand these things and then you don't listen when people say, hey, people got to eat, mm-hmm. right? And all the rest of this stuff is sophistry at the end of the day. You know, if people aren't eating, none of this stuff matters. None of it. It really doesn't. It sounds good, you know, but it becomes performative at some point if you're not impacting people's lives in a real and concrete way. Mm-hmm. And I think we as left, we need to be working towards a space where everybody gets these basic needs taken care of. And I don't think that's controversial. And at some point, you got to realize that people that do think that's controversial, that's right. their problem. You yes. know, it's nothing that anybody did wrong, something that anybody did wrong. It's just simply that it is what it is. Some people, everybody needs to eat. Some people have more, some people have less, mm-hmm. but you know, the most of the people that are suffering the most from these isms and whatever we're going to call it, whatever the ism is, whether it's racism, sexism, whatever it is, the people that at the bottom of the economic strata, they simply suffer more, and it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree completely. Mm-hmm. I agree. And so now, then this becomes a difficult part for me, right? So it's like, because I'm one of those mm-hmm. people at the lower end of the economic spectrum. I have often, mm-hmm. oftentimes in my life, been at the lower end of the economic spectrum, and it has made it harder to deal with racism and sexism. And you know, I'm bisexual. That you know, mm-hmm. if I'm with a female partner, you know, those sort of things. And but it's like, mm-hmm. for some reason, people don't want to hear you talk about this. So how is there a way to engage, or do we just forget them and move on? Like, how do we build a coalition that is going to help people on a harm reduction level basis? How do we build a harm reduction coalition?
I think to me, sometimes you just got to leave people behind. You know, if something like this to me, to my mind, you know, maybe because my experiences with you know, my bouts with homelessness and you know, not knowing where the next meal is coming from, maybe that kind of informs where I'm coming from. But even so, you know, I grew up middle class. But if you, because my adulthood that makes me dumb decisions. But anyway, if you don't recognize that people need to eat more than they need a pat on the back, you know, if you mm-hmm. don't recognize that, again, we'll go back to Maslow's hierarchy. That self-realization, that self-actualization doesn't happen until the top until all those bottom right. needs need to be taken care of before we start talking about self-actualization and going on and changing the world. You got to take care of those bottom needs first. And if you as a human being and leftist and anti-whatever you are, if you can't recognize that, your value to the movement is kind of tiny, right? And I don't think that's controversial. And if you think that's the term being tossed around now is class reductionist, mm-hmm. well, I'm sorry to tell you, but money, you can call it what you want, class reductionist, economic reductionist, financial reductionist. Everybody needs these basic needs. Right. Everybody. And because this intersection is so large, it's the natural place to build a coalition, right? And you know, a coalition is a group of groups, right? And in a group of groups, not everybody's going to believe everything, going to agree with everything that everybody says. You know, everybody has their own lanes, but we're working together to get to this particular goal or this set the goals, like the progressive agenda, right? Medicare for all, free college education, da-da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Right? If we're going to work together to get there, we need to get as many people as possible going in the same direction, right? And I don't think, again, that's another thing that I don't think is controversial. If we need as many people as possible going in the same direction, and there's this intersection staring us in the face, which is economics, why are we not staying on that intersection? Bernie was on that intersection. He's been on that intersection, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the last two, you know, in 2015 and 16, people were screaming, you know, economics is white folks' business or white folks' stuff, and that economics don't have to apply to the black man. You know, this shit was galling to me, you know? I mean, like we talked about before, the hip-hop world been telling us cash rules everything around me forever. You know what I mean? This is not the blues. No money. You know, even country music. You know, the lack of money is all up and down our music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I don't understand how suddenly black people aren't concerned with money when that's our chief concern in most cases.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about getting rich. We're talking about eating every day. You know. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, wouldn't go ahead?
Michael, check it out, right? So they say class reductionist, mm-hmm. right? Reducing things to money. Mm-hmm. All right, so reducing shit. Nigga, you white. Nigga, you black. Nigga, you a Japanese-ass mm-hmm. nigga, right? You one of them Cambodian-ass mm-hmm. niggas, right? Nigga, Filipino-ass mm-hmm. nigga. Guamanian mm-hmm. nigga. If you see a homeless motherfucker on the road holding a sign, does it say, I need racism to end, or does it say I need money for some shit? Reductionist. It's been reduced to money, nigga. It's been reduced. Yes. You see it on the corner every day when you're absolutely. Driving your fucking Fiat.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, it's crazy.
But you know, but people are really mad about that as a concept, because they're like, well, but then you're ignoring the other ism, you're ignoring racism, or you're and it's like, but people don't, something that I find, you know, and I said this yesterday on the show, is that basically mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, you tweeted some nigga shit and a bunch of non-niggas got involved in the conversation, and that's why it went downhill very quickly. But you know, because I mean, on the most basic level, it's like, but these are problems, and I just wish that more people on the left were open to hearing about these problems from people who have actually lived through them or had mm-hmm. to experience them, because you know, it is a choice of, do you want mm-hmm. to deal with racism in the workplace, or do you not want to have a job and deal with the consequences of not having a job, you know? And it's like, I think what disappoints me the most about the way things have gone down the last few days is that people are, you know, throwing around class reductionist, or saying that, you know, it's ignoring racism, but also ignoring the economic factors of racism in the conversation. And that's, like, disappointing mm-hmm. to me in a way, and I wish that people would be more open to talking, or not talking, more open to listening to folks who have been through the downside of racism and poverty at the same time. You know, because that's something that I find in this conversation, is there's this focus on racism, and they're like, well, it's not going to stop, you know, if we have a, you know, a living wage, it's not going to stop police from shooting you or police from arresting you. No, but at least my family would be able to pay for my funeral. Which, like, yeah, that's some morbid ass shit, but it's true. You know, hey, yeah, I might still get framed up for some bullshit from police, but at least I can afford bail money, that or a lawyer. That's fucking huge,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, bail and a lawyer, it will change the freaking world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is not complex. I mean, to me, it's not complex. Maybe because, you know, like we talked about before, William has a knack for distilling shit down really quickly, right?
Yes.
I guess maybe this a lot of this maybe it's an offshoot of this, all this performative wokeness adding complexity to this shit that really doesn't require complexity, you know. Everybody trying to sound smart, which has always been a problem on the left, and this may be an offshoot of that. But it, you know, adding complexity, if you got to go to work, if you have to, women and men and race, whether it's racism, sexism, if you're facing it in the workplace, you still got to eat the next day.
Right.
You know, it's bad that people have to go through that, obviously. But if you have to, if this is something that you, if this is something you don't understand, you need to step back
and try to absorb. And if you can't absorb that, that's not, it's really not anything that anybody else can do for you.
Right.
And conversely, there's really not much you can do for the movement if you don't understand that.
So not,
and, but, I mean, this is, of course, obviously this is my opinion, right? I own the movement, right? I'm just a guy.
But see, then my question becomes, but how do you get people to step back and listen? Because it's like, I think the wild thing about this is a lot of these folks that I'm seeing who are frustrating me right now, generally speaking, have good takes around sexism or homophobia or racism or anti-blackness. You know what I mean? Like, they can, you know, go in a thread and be like, oh, this was a racist thing somebody said, or, oh, this is a dog whistle, or, you know, oh, this, you know, statistic is just, you know, disproportionately making black people. Like, it's like they understand racism on that level, but then when it comes to combining economic desperation, suddenly they don't get it. And, like, I don't know how to fix that, really. Like, I don't even know where to begin with that conversation, because to me it's such a basic thought. I really never thought I would have to break it down further than I will deal with racism in public so that I can be alive in public, you know? So it's kind of wild to me. Like, I don't even know how to address it.
Yeah, and it, you know, I figured that, okay, all right, if you don't get it, let me explain it to you.
Mm-hmm.
People, I mean, again, I even posted Maslow's hierarchy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If I have to wade through hell and high water to feed my kids, like most parents, the way most parents feel, right?
Yeah.
If that's what I got to do, that's what I got to do. And I don't understand why people, it doesn't click for people. Even if you don't have kids, there's somebody or someone you love that you'd be willing to do anything to take care of, in most cases, right?
Right.
If you can't, if your mind isn't nimble enough to work that through, again, how much value do you have at the end of the day for the movement? I mean, not to be judgmental for anybody, but I mean, this is elementary stuff, really. People need to eat. That's important. People need shelter. That's important. And I don't, it's to me, on one level, it's galling, even when you explain it to somebody, you know? You get all this performative wokeness and all this, you know, all this, you know, the pedantic bullshit, you know, about, you know, people's dignity and da 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 da. Hunger or dignity? Very few people would choose hunger. You know, you know what I mean?
Right.
Especially for their family member, right? We're talking about people's children, and that's specifically why I chose that frame, right? Mm-hmm. Because when your children are crying from being hungry,
yeah,
that will tear your soul out.
Yeah.
It will tear your soul out. And if you've never heard that or don't understand how painful that can be for a parent, never mind a child, if you don't understand that, you have no empathy. It doesn't exist in you, right? And people need to examine that. Again, not to be judgmental or be the arbiter of what's right and what's wrong, but if you consider yourself a leftist or a progressive or on the left and you care about people and we got to get together to get everything done, blah, 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 blah. But if you can't get to, okay, people eating, people's health care, all this other stuff is the foundation for empowerment and the growth, number one, improving their lives.
Right.
Number two, the growth of the movement and strengthening your coalition.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get that, even if it's just sheer numbers of people who aren't too sick to fight or too hungry to fight, even if it's just sheer numbers, you've got to understand that. Regardless of that person's race, gender, sexual orientation, what religion it is, regardless of what where they are, of course that money intersection impacts all these people, right? Mm-hmm. All of us, right? Regardless of where you are on the economic spectrum, where you are, whatever ism you suffer from, whatever your personal biases are, if you think that everybody should eat, if you think that everybody should have shelter, and if you think that people shouldn't lose everything because somebody gets sick, then this stuff should click to you.
Right.
And if it doesn't, and you keep fighting it, either you're intentionally doing this to stir the pot, or you're just too dense to be useful. And it's, to my mind, that's really where we are.
Okay. So now, for folks who do get it, how do we go about getting better at working together? Because it seems like, you know, as I've been watching, and of course Twitter is only one medium, you know, but it seems like watching these conversations over Twitter, it's like a very small handful, like a person here, or there's one person there, oh, someone here. But how do we get all these folks together in a coalition who get it? Because, like, you know, I see comments, you know, that fit together, but how do we get all these people together to actually create change?
Yeah. Again, I think, you know, this is from, you know, an organizational behavior sort of standpoint. I mean, people need a rallying cry, right? And a lot of times it's a leader. I mean, it's going to be a leader, and it's going to be a particular platform or call to action, right? Mm-hmm. And I think right now the left has Bernie, whether you like him or not. Whether you respect him or not, however you feel about him, you know, him and his interaction with the DNC or whatever, no matter how you feel about him, he is the titular head of the progressive movement, whether you like it or not, right? You can be mad at Bernie all you want. You can be mad at the Democrats all you want. But Bernie's the guy who the majority of people are rallying around. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't like the Democrats, if you think he should start another party, you should still be able to rally around the platform, right? It's the person, then the mission, right? Mm-hmm. It should be the reverse. As human beings, we should all get behind a platform, but human beings prefer to get behind a person, okay, right? And let's be honest, to my mind, in a situation where we are with somebody like Trump in the White House, we're lucky to have somebody like Bernie who's fearless and keeps talking, because if it wasn't for him, what we do and talk about could quickly become subversive, or be called subversive, mm-hmm, right? Or characterized, I guess it's better framing, characterized as subversive, right? They're communist or whatever,
yeah,
right? And then suddenly this new Red Scare takes a whole new meaning. But because somebody like Bernie, an elected official, is out there beating the drums for the same thing we're beating the drums for, we have some cover. And people should understand that. Well, I don't know if everybody will understand that, and that's just my view. But getting behind Bernie and organizations like Our Revolution and the National Nurses Union, the Poor People's Campaign. Mm-hmm. And I think to my mind, it's time to start building these coalitions around these organizations, mm-hmm, right? Especially those three organizations I just mentioned, because they have. All three of them have excellent, unimpeachable leadership, mm-hmm, right? With Brevin Barber and Nina Turner and Roseanne DeMauro, right? And they're national organizations, right? They have their feet in almost every state, mm-hmm, right? Our Revolution has 600 chapters across the country.
Really?
Right?
I did not know they had that many.
They're huge. They're huge. People don't realize it, but they are huge, right? If those three organizations got together, mm-hmm, and started working on the same platform, fighting the same fight, mm-hmm, it's a wrap. It is an absolute wrap, right? Okay. And there, of course, there'll be naysayers, well, I don't want to be involved with religion or whatever. I don't care. If that stops you from helping people eat, you weren't supposed to be here in the first place.
Right.
Right? Yeah, so, and I think, again, it takes, because all the left, all the institutions that we as the left used to depend on, we can't depend on them anymore. We can't depend on the press. We can't depend on universities anymore. We can't depend on any national institutions anymore. There's all these institutions that we used to have, mm-hmm, to depend on. We don't have them anymore. The criminal justice system doesn't serve, it never really served us that well, but at least we used to have some sort of a fair shake. Now it's more money driven than it's ever been.
Right.
And so organizations like Our Revolution and the Breach Repairs, the Poor People's Campaign and the National Nurses Union, they can serve as institutions for us, right? As places to meet, to fellowship, and to build momentum and work together and build campaigns to do X, Y, and Z. Okay. You know, right now we're just really scattered, mm-hmm, you know?
Right. No, I
get as it. Usual on the left. We're always as scattered, scattered and under capitalized.
What is it? Hurting cats. Trying to hurt cats, yeah.
Yeah, hurting, mm-hmm, absolutely hurting cats. Absolutely hurting rabid cats. It is bad trying to get leftists to go. And you know, I mean, it's part and parcel, because most people on the left are free thinkers, and they, right. and they, everybody thinks for themselves and has their own opinion on things, even when, you know, opinion is not required.
Right.
It's blue.
Right.
Well, I don't know if it's really an actual blue. It's a light blue. You know, we get right. a lot of that on the left. But you know, there are enough of us that if we got together, that there would be a hardcore center that would center of that group, okay. center of that leftist grouping, that could get a whole lot of things done.
So now,
and beat the drum for what we're trying to do.
So now here's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
The people who refuse to get with it, how do mm-hmm. you cut them loose?
Just keep moving. Ignore them. That's all you can do, because these are adults, right? You can't tell them to shut up and they'll go away. Tell them to shut up, it just gets worse, right? So just keep moving, you know, move on to the next mission. And that's all you can. It's like life, you know, that everybody's going to be with you forever. So, hey, good luck to you and your future endeavors, and you keep pushing. You know, you can't spend, again, this we're back to resources again. You can't spend resources on people who refuse to get it. It's not like they can't get it or don't get it. A lot of folks are refusing to get it. Right, and time, energy, and money are resources that nobody can renew. Right, I mean, you can make more money, but you can't get time back. That energy that's lost is lost. You can rebuild it, but that energy is gone from you. Right, I know energy never disappears, whatever that is in physics. Anyway, that energy that you had is gone. Right, you got to wait until you've regrouped. To get that energy back. Now, not everybody's as energetic as William, you know, working 40,000 hours a week, right? So not everybody has that level of energy, right? So you have to, and there's only 24 hours in a day,
right?
What are you going to do? You can't make the day any longer. You can't make the weeks any longer. You can't make the year any longer. You can't make a minute. You can't get a minute and a half out of a minute. These are resources you can't do anything about. So you have to manage your resources well. And spending time with people who refuse to get it, I get it back and forth, the back and forth on Twitter. Yeah, that's, you know, it's a lot of time wasting, but that's minor, right? But even then, you know, at a certain time, like, okay, mute, block, and keep it pushing, right? Because because some folks are going to be time wasters intentionally who are trying to hold this whole thing back. They're going to intentionally try to break things.
Yeah.
Right, and you just have to be able to sniff those folks out. Not to say that you shouldn't give people a chance. Don't get me wrong, but once they burn that bridge, let it smoke and keep going.
Right,
you know, and that's what you have to do. And otherwise, you'll find yourself keep running back to pick up these pieces, mm-hmm. and you're falling behind. Right, and
we
can't afford to fall behind, because the other side has had a 40-year head start. The conservative movement has been at this forever, mm-hmm. right? And since they absorbed the Democratic Party through the DLC, they have all the money.
Yeah.
They have all the money from the center all the way over to the right. They have all the money, right? What we have is more people, more creativity, but we don't have these institutions, right? We don't have our own TV stations. Yeah, the Young Turks, they do really well, and a couple other organizations, they do really well. But still, we don't have, and even then, everybody has their own agenda,
right?
And I don't mean that in a negative fashion, right? Everybody has their own agenda, as in, this is what we believe, and this is what we're going for, right? And that's not always a negative thing, having your own agenda, right? Because everybody has their lane. As I said before, we have coalitions, right? But there's, you know, and even in that, there's some classism involved in that in that area of the left. You know, that whole dumb left thing drove me nuts after Trump won. It drove me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not everybody went to a hoity-toity prep school. You know, mm-hmm. Not that the prep school or college is a bad thing, right? I have a college degree. I went to a private school a good chunk of my life, of my young life. Mm-hmm. I get it, right? But that doesn't mean that people that don't have that level of understanding are less than,
mm-hmm.
right? And they may view things, and again, they may view things differently. As long as it's not a destructive way of viewing things, what do you gain?
Right.
You know, and that whole dumb and blaming that whole it was the Young Turks and Majority Report and a few other spaces that were blaming voters. Blaming voters is always stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's always stupid. And if that's, you know, if you're blaming voters like the Democrats did, well, how much better are you in this particular space? How much better are you than they are?
Yo.
And that's the thing you have to ask yourself.
Michael.
Know? Williams,
in that joint, right? Like you're saying, dumb left in particular. That's Michael Brooks of the Majority Report.
Yeah, Michael Brooks. Yeah, Michael Brooks. Yeah, and Sam C with that dumb left stuff. Yeah.
And what's ill
that
about that?
Still is.
According to Michael Brooks' personal testimony, is he comes from poverty, mm-hmm. right? Like food mm-hmm. stamps when they were actually food stamps, and that's what we're talking about. Like that old word that, do you ever hear anyone say sell out anymore? And then no one says sell out anymore, but it's like now Michael Brooks, like he fucks with Sam mm-hmm. Cedar, which mm-hmm. Sam Cedar mm-hmm. is a contracted contributor to Microsoft, MSNBC. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. National Broadcasting Company. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, like, the money them niggas is pulling in, like, that's an actual sellout. Like, and let's call it what, like, because he had integrity and he built up a notoriety and he sold it. Right? Yeah. And so, like, that's an actual sellout, and calling people the dumb left. Ableism. Not irrelevant, but ableism to the side mm-hmm. for now. Like, that's why I call them niggas the pompous left, and why I call them the top hat and monocle.
Yeah, pompous left. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. excellent. Yeah, yeah. There is a segment of the I guess it's the intellectual light web. I guess what we'll call it.
Yes.
That, you know, looks down their nose at people who don't have that high an education,
right?
And you know to gang up on people like Jimmy Dore, who, you know, okay, Jimmy's not perfect, but in general he's a positive force, I think.
I think most of the time he's good, but you know, and like that's the thing though that's like frustrating about that is that in my opinion creates a lot of division and a lot of hurdles mm-hmm. in trying to create a coalition, because they don't want to work with, you know, quote unquote dumb niggas, right? Like, they don't want to work with people who didn't go to private school or don't have the education. But it's like, those are the people mm-hmm. who are best at identifying the immediate needs of a community. Those are the people best at being to rally mm-hmm. the immediate community. Those are the people best at already engaging in activism, because in order to survive, like let's just be honest about it. Like, when you're rich, you can be an mm-hmm. isolationist. When you're poor, you kind of have to be on that communism shit to, like, a certain degree. You cannot mm-hmm. survive in poverty without a community, whether that is your immediate family, whether that's your block, mm-hmm. whether that's your church, whether that's your school, whatever mm-hmm. it is, you need to have help, because there's going to be days where you don't have food, or you don't have rent money, or you can't afford a medication. So mm-hmm. you have to try to pool as many resources as you can to try to get those. So you do need to understand how to work with other people. And that's something that people who are, you know I sound like a fucking Republican, mm-hmm. like the coastal elites, you know, whatnot, don't necessarily grasp that, like, on the same level that poor people do.
There's absolutely some classism going on the left. I mean, you can see how some of these organizations choose their candidates, right? Mm-hmm. They have a, whether they realize it or not, they have a blueprint, right? If you look at who, in general, who got, you know, the most money, you know, they these people were, you know, they were a little bit of hoity-toity, mm-hmm. or at least had somebody, you know, people that they felt they could build around. But a lot of times they self-select for people who are like them,
right?
People who went to Ivy Leagues or sub Ivy Leagues, mm-hmm. Sub Ivy League universities, right? They're not gonna pick the guy who went to in general. And I mean, this is, I'm just generalizing. You know, they're not gonna pick the guy who went to, not all these organizations, I'm just saying in general. They're not gonna pick the guy who went to, you know, community college or didn't finish high school.
No,
or did, you know, or did some time in prison.
No, they're not gonna fuck with me.
Right?
They're not gonna fuck with me. Like, basically, mm-hmm. niggas that carry briefcases are not gonna fuck with me while I carry toolboxes.
Right.
Right? They're not gonna fuck with me. Yeah. What they're gonna do is mm-hmm. they're gonna go get what Imani Gandhi, and they're gonna go try to mm-hmm. reframe Imani Gandhi as some sort of leftist. The funny style mm-hmm. niggas like that are gonna do shit like try to bring niggas like that in, mm-hmm. and that's mm-hmm. that sideways bullshit. Why? Because we're black yeah. lawyers, and right. it's like, okay, nigga, but mm-hmm. we're black factory workers, so fuck you.
Right. That's
That's also like what Phoenix was saying earlier. It's also there's also thing right now and right now, one thing that I think every most Americans, especially Americans that need that are in need, mm-hmm. what they're looking for in politicians now, they're looking for courage, right? They're looking for somebody who's gonna go to the wall and go down swinging, whether they win, lose, or draw. They're gonna go down swinging. That's mm-hmm. what people are looking for. That guy or that gal is, in general, is not going to be in these hoity-toity groups.
Right.
Right? And the guy, like William's saying, like the guy that's a factory worker who may have done a little time, you know, has a lot more courage and is willing to go to bat. Because some of these places, right, like, you know, small districts in New York, it's like the mafia. Yeah. You're going to need somebody courageous to run against these folks.
Right.
You can't have some guy who, you know, can't, you know, handle himself in a fight, not rhetorically here, but even then physically, right? Because mm-hmm. it could get that kind of bad in a lot of these, you know, like some of these counties in the South. You mm-hmm. know, that sheriff runs that county. Mm-hmm. You know, and you run for mayor in one of those towns, that county, that sheriff got to bless you. Right? It's stuff like that that people don't recognize that's going on in yeah. these towns when they talk about standing up and going, you know, and going at these and trying to primary folks. There's a lot of shady shit that goes on because that's a lot of money we're talking about.
Yes.
Right? There's developers and all kinds of employers, you know, like for instance, factory people, the people that own that factory, you better believe they're greasing the person they want. To the whatever's going to be regulating that factory, they're paying good money to select the person that's going to take care of them, right? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of goddamn money. Yep, and you can with that kind of money, you can pay for goons. Let's be real, you can pay for some goons, right? You can and you're going to need somebody who's willing to stand up, right? And we're getting back there again, you know. Unions got torn down through legislation, but mm-hmm. if they're going to stand back up, they're going to be facing a whole lot of different shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be like back in the day with the union busters, the Pinkertons and shit. That shit is coming back, but it's just going to be the police this time.
Right.
Right?
The highly militarized police. The highly militarized police that Democrats fully support.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, great.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Yeah, and people think that, you know, the police were militarized for anti-terrorism, though. They were militarized to take care of those rich folks that are taking their cities back through gentrification. That's not why they were militarized. Look at New York. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they were militarized to keep the rabble from storming the castle,
right?
And a lot of people don't recognize that, and I think, and again, it may be controversial to some people, but I don't think it is. It's not conspiracy theories. I mean, you can see how they act, right? These police forces are basically chasing people out of neighborhoods,
yeah,
right? I mean, through the tactics and, you know, just constantly beating people down, you know, mm-hmm. you know, draining them of resources. Again, we're back at money. Draining them of resources, locking people up. You can't fight anymore. So when somebody with money moves in a neighborhood and the cops start acting, you know, right again or semi-right, you know, you can't fight. You don't have anything. Mm-hmm. You don't have anything left. Because you've been beaten down so much. Your neighborhood, you don't have any resources. You know, half the people in town have been in and out of jail over on bullshit humbug charges.
Right.
You know, and you know, you don't have, and you know, the mayor, where the mayor just sees, you see the mayor like 6 months before he runs for office. He's supposed to be working for you. You see for him 6 months before he runs for office. You vote for him, and then he disappears again. You never see him again. You don't mm-hmm. see him until 6 months before he has to run again.
Yep.
You know, because he doesn't answer to you anymore. He answers to the people that are running that town. You know, people with the money who are paying for his campaign. You know, and this is some nefarious shit that we got to deal with. Again, it's not conspiracy theories. This is just how the real world works.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The people with the money, they're getting together to keep us down. We need to be getting together to get ourselves out of this hole. And I don't think it's hard to understand. At least I don't think so.
I mean, it shouldn't be, but here we are. You know, but you know, and I still stand by my theory that a lot of the reason that this is difficult for people to grasp, quote unquote, is that they actually do grasp it, but they don't want to do the actual anti-racism work. Like, it's really easy to hashtag, you know, say her name or Black Lives Matter, but it's a lot more scary to stand in between police and Black people who are protesting. That's like a whole other level of dedication, you know?
Yo,
absolutely.
One thing I do to boost our content, I post pictures online and then I link a podcast episode with the picture. Yes. And one of the pictures is Black people protesting and some white people with fishing poles got in front of those Black people and in between them and the police, and they put donuts on the hooks of the fishing poles and put those out at the police. Like, them some gangsta ass white niggas.
I like that. Which, you know, I think
and that's another thing that for me is we're in an era where Antifa and other organizations, a lot of white folks out there in the street throwing blows.
Yeah,
you know, which they're out there getting it done.
You know, I'll say it every time. I'm never gonna stop
to shoulder with this.
Yeah, I'm never gonna stop saying it. One of my white Antifa friends got arrested for me. During a protest, cops were trying to come at me. She got in between me because she got arrested for me. So, you know, it's like, you know, and I think that also is something that needs to be highlighted as well. Because, like, yeah, we talk about, like, racism and white supremacy all the time. I know. Mm-hmm. But I also understand that there are white people who are really legitimately sick of racism and white supremacy. And they do their job, you know. And I don't mind building a coalition with folks like that. I don't mind working with folks like that. Like, if you have put in your anti-racism work, I'm down to work with you. But if the extent of your anti-racism work is like sharing hashtags or some bullshit, we might have a problem. You know what I mean? Like, are you contributing time? Are you, and you know, and this is the thing about activism. Everybody pretends to be an activist, but a lot of people are not. But the wild thing is literally anyone can be an activist. You know what I'm saying? Because every movement has so many needs, you know? And it's like, you could give money.
That's why we stuck Actify.
Yeah.
You know? Because we're talking about, because we wanted to help the left with the, especially with the language, right? Because we've been losing the messaging war for decades.
Yeah, we
need
bumper stickers.
Yeah, we've been losing the messaging war for decades because they speak bumper sticker over there. They say a one or two phrases, and it conveys a meaning and an understanding, and people get it, and they run with it, right?
Right.
On the left, we're throwing dictionaries at people. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And we're getting mad. I don't want to talk down to people. No, you want to talk to people. Talk to people.
Yes.
Talk to people where they are, right? Yes. And there is a lexicon that people that is more understandable than class reductionist or whatever the term is for this week. Who the hell? I had to look up what class reductionist was. I didn't know what it was.
Shit. Hey, nigga.
You know what I mean?
Yo, check it. Like when, like in the factory I work in, right? I'm a full-time worker with the company, and that's because I don't have any felonies or misdemeanors, so I can work full-time with the company. But then we got Black people from the city out in Chicago, and they're literally, we posted a picture of this online, they're on a busing system to come out to the suburbs to work in this factory. And when I'm talking to them, when they're like, "Oh man, that's messed up. Why do they do this like this, bruh?" And I'm like, I don't say it's because they're insidious capitalists. I say, "Oh, it's because they're grimy, nigga." I say, "It's because they grimy, cause they're dirty like that." Like, I speak the language of my niggas.
It's, you know, I mean, Black folks use it because we code switch, right? But you know, some Black folks don't. They go in the opposite direction when they need to be code switching. You know what I mean? They start talking like they have a dissertation. They're doing their dissertation, and it's unnecessary. Absolutely unnecessary, and it pisses me off.
It's not only unnecessary; it's unhelpful because that alienates people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And even and sometimes it's just subtle. You know, people just step away because they feel they're supposed to know this stuff. Right. No, they're not supposed to know this shit.
Right.
You're not supposed to know what these words mean. It's not to say that you're too dumb to understand, because people will spin it that way. Right.
Yeah.
You're not at that edge. You haven't attained that educational level. It is understandable that you do not understand those words.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the communicator to find the words. If he got those $10 words, I'd be damned if he doesn't know any $3 or $4 words, right?
Yes.
It's up to the communicator to talk to people and talk to people where they are,
you
right?
Know, I made
all
a...
the best communicators in our history know how to do that.
Uh-huh. I made a post about that on Facebook, and somebody came in the comment section, and he was like, I find it, I mean, was using all the words. It's presumptuous that you think I have insidious intentions for not using more basic language. This is simply how my brain thinks, and it's incredibly insulting and infuriating that you think I'm doing it intentionally to make people feel inferior. And I was like, nigga, shut the whole fuck up. And, you know, like, I didn't have, like, I couldn't formulate the comment, but somebody came in underneath and said, if you have $1 million vocabulary, don't talk to niggas who are in debt.
Yeah. And like, right, and like this, like, let's look at, because like we're kind of speaking metaphorically, right? $10 words and $3 words. So consider your $10 words to be synonymous with a $15 minimum wage. Why the fuck you talking $15 minimum wage to a nigga that's getting $7.50? Take your wage down to that nigga's level, you class privileged motherfucker.
Yes. Yes. And it's
the left. The right has picked. The right has known this for years.
Yeah.
You need to talk to people where they are, and they're pushing bullshit.
90 seconds.
Bullshit.
Oh shit.
We have history on our side. We have data on our side. Mm-hmm. We have all kinds of stuff on our side, but we don't know how to communicate it to people.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're failing to communicate it to people, because a lot of people do it intentionally just to show off, right? This, you know, it's like, you know, virtual signaling for education, you know, and it's galling, and it's completely unnecessary. Yeah, I got a degree, but I don't have to. I speak to people because I want them to understand.
60 seconds.
Understand. I speak to them in a manner that is understandable.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to speak in terms that, you know, the people have to go grab a dictionary or go Google the words that you're talking about. It doesn't make sense to do that. It's a waste of time, waste of energy, and it just makes, to my mind, it just makes you look pretentious.
Right. And then, of course, the worst part is that not only do you look pretentious, but it looks like you're insulting the person that you're talking to by saying, because I have this vocabulary, because I know these words, I therefore will be able to dictate what's best for you. So because I know the theory and you don't, you just need to trust me that what I tell you you need is what you need. And it's like, but if you haven't been here, you don't know what we need, you know? And somebody wrote, I gotta try to find it, but somebody wrote... Somebody wrote a blog piece about how basically they were poor and they had some car trouble and their car had broke down on the side of the road, and a person, like a good Samaritan, came up to try to help and whatnot, and was saying like, well, I'm just going to call you a tow truck because this person didn't have a cell phone. Like, I have a cell phone, I'm going to call you a tow truck. And the poor person is like, please don't call me a tow truck. I can't afford a tow. My insurance doesn't cover a tow. I can't afford a tow. And they're like, well, I am helping you by calling you a tow truck. And they're like, but that's not actually helping me because I can't afford the tow truck bill.
That's not helping me.
And like, the person got mad and left. She's like, you're not taking my help. But it's like, your help isn't fucking help. Your help is what would be helpful to you. It's not what is helpful to this person
in
these lived circumstances. And that's just wild to me how many people aren't willing to listen and step back and listen to that. It's just, it's really, really wild. And it's unfortunate. It's really just unfortunate.
We saw a lot of that in this conversation. You know, this thing that started all this stuff. We saw
That's a lot of structural racism, refusing to understand.
You know, and my thing is, black people have been fighting this fight a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know what's required in this fight, regardless of what these manufactured hacks say. We know what's required in this fight. We know what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Help us get up on our feet,
right,
financially and economically. Well, help us get there. We'll guide you right to the prize. Let's go.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yep.
But to think that, okay, I'm going to come to your neighborhood and tell you what you need. We need food. Well, I have this Bible. that good enough? You know what I mean? Nothing against religious people. I'm just saying, in general, you're not bringing what will help them the most. And again, if you have limited resources, you got to get the most bang for your buck. That's something that poor people understand, right?
Yes.
You got to get the most bang for your buck, right?
So trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents.
If you only got a dollar, you can get jelly or bread. You get jelly, you get bread because bread's going to fill you up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You make these decisions, and because things are distilled that down to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're distilled that clearly, you know, it's easy to make that decision if once you understand the context, right? But people are refusing to understand the context,
mm-hmm.
and in a manner that's just like we're magical or something. We get hungry, and yes, food is a very important thing. Food is much more important than these self-actualization things you guys are talking about, dignity
right.
and forthrightness and all this other shit.
Mm-hmm.
We eat, right? We'll climb this Maslow's hierarchy. We'll get up this pyramid. You just make sure we get these first two levels. We'll take care of it from there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yo, bread will fill you up, right? Bread will fill you up. Jelly will give
mm-hmm.
you a surprise bowel movement. This message brought to you by a pair of underpants my mother threw away.
That is a fact.
You know, and you know, it smiled to me too, because I saw a nutritionist who was trying to explain to people that, like, poor people, like, aren't buying junk. Like, she said somebody can be poor and fat and still be malnourished because, you know, they might be buying,
mm-hmm.
like, McDonald's or buy a Snickers. And they're like, but a Snickers bar will fill you, it has more protein and more fat by default of what's in it. It will fill you up better than an apple. And they both cost 79 cents.
Yo, and there's like, there's
know.
Also, there's emotion as well. Because what does that Snickers also have? That,
sugar, salt,
and
chocolate.
Yes, chocolate in particular.
Mm-hmm.
The science of it
is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
60 minutes.
Yeah,
average
of
60 minutes.
I got a Twix bar in my hand. I've been
looking
at it since we started. I'm like, damn, that Twix bar looks good.
That's right, because after you eat that chocolate, because you live for so many years, you may not know it cognitively, but your body knows it physically.
Mm.
At 60 minutes after you eat that chocolate, you're going to get euphoria in your brain.
Yeah.
That's what chocolate actually does.
Yes.
So, like, they're actually doing something that feels good. Niggas is being their own therapist with a fucking Snickers bar, but in the classes, motherfuckers want to diss them.
That's called self-medication.
Yeah, and a lot of things that poor people do is self-medicating,
yeah.
right? They're, you know, drugs is...
Shit, it has to be self-medicating. Who the fuck else is
going to... get hooked on drugs. Yeah, because you want to forget this bullshit.
But who the fuck else is going to medicate us?
From what's going on.
We don't have Medicare for all. Who the fuck else is going to medicate us?
Yep. And
yeah, exactly.
And as we close out this episode, because we're coming in on the hour, like, is poor people going
to
self-medicate?
I'm sorry to
talk you out of death. 2019, you're doing a podcast, and I know I sound like a bully, but you're doing it.
I'm supposed to be doing a podcast with Tina Desiree Berg and Brother B, the bad guy of Twitter.
Oh, no, sir.
Tina,
you know what? This is going to be so embarrassing. I know Tina has a podcast, and I still haven't heard it yet because I am behind on things.
What's that?
Tina already has a podcast, no?
Yeah, the 34th. Yeah, we're gonna do another podcast. It's gonna be a joint venture between the 34th and Actify.
Oh, okay.
We're going to discuss race because black people don't know it, but along with Tina being a B movie starlet back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
She's also has a PhD in philosophy, right? So she used to be a college professor, right? Yeah, she's brilliant, right? And she wrote a book for Actify. We haven't published it yet about race, right? Because she used to teach race in I forget what the course was, race in something in college, right? And you know, okay, she's white, but we're talking academic here. This is academic stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about from experience, right? You can learn from books as well, right? These are I'm laying out facts, people, with the context. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not trying to tell black people what to do. You know what I mean? So we're gonna have these discussions, whether people like it or not. Right?
Right.
We're gonna sit down and talk these things. We're gonna talk about these things. I mean, all three of us are pretty much on the same shit in music, but in general, But we're going to discuss some of these hard things and try to help people work through them, help people gain more understanding, because that's one of the things, because we often tell white folks to stay out of these black arguments, which I'm guilty mm-hmm. of too as well. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there is space for them, with, like, again, if you're laying out facts with the context, right? Mm-hmm. Like one guy was, we were talking about the infamous Bacon's Rebellion retreat, or right. Bacon's Rebellion tweet, which is 100% correct as far as I know, right? Mm-hmm. But there's one of the guys that came in, you know, a white guy, he's like, okay, these are the historical facts. How upset you are really doesn't change that,
right.
you know?
Right.
And stuff like that, yeah, fine. What would you do? You know, especially if you're a historian, this is your background. Yeah, okay, you got the cachet to get that done, right? And I don't think that's, again, I don't think that's controversial. Of course, there's going to be somebody that finds this controversial, but it is what it is. This is my life now, apparently.
Shit, welcome to it.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's the thing, exactly. though. As soon as people realize you just don't give a fuck, they stop talking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of history... Right, like history, got to give it up to the podcast historically with Esha. Because Esha,
I was talking to her earlier today.
I think that because of her accent and plus her mm-hmm. enthusiasm, she has a style that she might not even be aware of.
She loves talking about history. I'm like, damn, yo. I'm working on a project with her too. We'll talk about that some other time. But yeah, Isha's brilliant, right? She's super smart. She's super energetic, and she really really cares about these issues.
Yeah.
She sort of kind of gets caught up because she's also a minority, but she's not black, and she gets caught in the middle sometimes. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You know mm-hmm. Because she's a historian. She has some input, but she kind of stands back sometimes because she's not black. But yeah. But we're just laying out facts here.
You know? I think I got her.
You know what I mean?
I think she's doing
that's controversial either.
I think she's going to do a historically podcast about the shit we was talking about with the Nazis marching in Skokie. She didn't know that was a thing. Oh, and I was like, yeah. And I was telling her about this, like, yeah, they won on some freedom mm-hmm. of speech shit. They had the right to march, but they picked Skokie, which is a suburb mm-hmm. of Chicago. Like, they could have marched, they could have got their Chicago permit, but they're like, no, we want to march in Skokie because that was a hub for Holocaust survivors. And this was like in like 78, mm-hmm. I think, it, like 1978. So, yeah. I think she's, mm-hmm. She found the guy, the lawyer who represented the Jewish people of Skokie, who said, get these fuckers out. And she found him. He's still alive. Mm-hmm. So she might actually be interviewing him.
Oh, yeah. She's a research beast.
Yeah.
She's also
yeah.
a lawyer, right? She's a research beast. Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's what she, while we're here now, she's going to be doing some courses about these things that she's talking. She's going to be doing some courses for acting
nice.
and books around these things. So small books. We call them power readers. You know, mm-hmm. like 200 pages, you really get an in-depth understanding of these particular events in time and these movements or whatever, right? And along with a course, a short course to go with it, so you understand it even better. And, you know, that's one of the things that we, because our education system has been trashed, you know, it's one of those things we as the left, we have to step in and help people fill these gaps.
You know what? See, you know? And right there. Like, folks may have heard this mm-hmm. over the, like, we're at an hour and 2 minutes. Folks heard this cat,
sorry.
Michael Graham, Actify. This cat can go, right? Like, and that's why Michael Graham is going to do his own podcast where he just riffs, where he just goes. Because Michael Graham will trigger himself into another thought and then do an extra segment that he didn't plan on.
I might just start bringing on my shit once a week, shit.
Yeah, like, so 2019 is going to be some shit.
Just let me know. I can make time, man. I like to talk about these issues, you know, and I like to talk to people that are concerned about these issues. And you know, even in these conversations, even though we largely agree, we're still mm-hmm. learning from one another. And,
right.
and that's a very, very important thing. And your listeners get to learn while we learn, you
right.
know, or they get to cuss us out under their breath or whatever.
Yeah.
Hit us up in the comments or whatever.
Or even like we're the echo chamber right here, right? But like in this episode right here, I disagreed with Michael Graham on something a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Early mm-hmm. in the episode, yep. like the first 10 minutes where Michael Graham was like, you just walk away from him. I don't just walk away from mm-hmm. niggas. What I do is I don't talk if I strongly disagree, I don't talk to mm-hmm. you. I talk about you. I take your verbatim quotes and I talk about your motherfucking ass. I talk about
you. Yeah, you and Brother Beat need to do a show. That's some bitch. Y'all two would just be killing people.
Yes, indeed. So that's Actify. Cats know Michael. Cats know already because we already share their shit to our Flipboard, Facebook, to our Twitter. We already share it.
We appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, 2019 is going to be a feather mucker. Yes. Indeed.
Yes.
All right. So, Mr.
Yeah,
Sir.
Fingers crossed. Yeah,
we need it.
Going into 2020, we just too divided, man. We've got to find a way to get together. Even if there's all these forces out there that don't want us to get together, especially around economics, we still got to fight through.
Yeah, we got
it. We still got to fight through, win, lose, or draw.
Yes. So to you in particular, this is the closer, please be as safe as possible wherever you are.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to get ready for bed because we got capitalism in the morning.
Woo!
No doubt.
All right. Stay cool.
Have a good one. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Peace.
Okay.
All right. So that was that was MG. Constructive.
That was that nigga MG.
Yeah. Yo, he's got to do a program.
That nigga like, is doing he like 27. He's doing like 27,000 other things right now. He's trying to get niggas to write books and
why not 28,000? 28,000.
Niggas is so demanding.
That's Spanglish.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. All right. So yeah. Why you pinching niggas' cheeks? Light skinned niggas be pinching cheeks.
Your cheeks are cute, nigga. What you want from me?
That's colorism. I'm a victim. I've been victimified.
Really?
Yes.
Telling dark skin. All right.
You are barely black. All right, let's get the funk out of here. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. And our integrity is there. Because, you know, if you hit up our Patreon, keep in mind, we subscribe to other folks' Patreons.
Yeah.
So, like, you're contributing to them, too. Like, because we like to hit niggas up. Ja'Cory Holder, the cartoonist.
Yes.
Katie Halper, the nigga-ass Jew. You know, folks like that. We unsubscribed from Brief Brain Facts. Because we don't think that it's in our integrity for you to hit them niggas up. We unsubscribed from Left Chat because it's not in our integrity for us to take your shit and hit them with that. Like, we will not take your funding and pass it on to funny style niggas. We don't get down like that. This is the Wine Cellar. We are the gangster rap of black podcasts. All right?
You just want to make a diss track about somebody.
Thursday or whatever. I don't know, nigga.
It's Thursday or something.
Yeah, let's get 2018 into can. Mañanas, yes. Viernes.
Yes.
I need my check because I got to pay the internet bill.
Woo, so yeah, we need that. We need that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, motherfuckers. Or as I personally like to say, gracias. I don't know if anyone else says that. Peace.